Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, M.D. Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight, and we are ready once again to share the Word of God right here live on this platform of Blog Talk Radio. And I want to thank you for all of you who have taken the time out to stop by to listen to the Word of God. One of the greatest ways to end your day is on a high note, and that high note is getting in the Word of God and allowing God to speak to us and talk to us. And it's amazing when we allow the Word of God to speak to us, because that is the voice of God. If you really want to hear from God, then go get in the Word, and you can hear from Him. And definitely you want to be able to digest the things that He said, and you can recall those things as the Holy Spirit bring them back to your remembrance. God wants us to hold Him to His Word. And simply when you gather hold of the Word, you catch hold of the Word, you're really gathering hold of Jesus Himself, because Jesus is the Word. He is the living Word. He is the spoken Word. He is the Word, again, that was made flesh. He is the Word from the beginning to the end. He is, and He has always been. He is God. And so we thank God, we thank our Jesus for giving us the revelation knowledge of Himself, so that we may come closer to our Father. And tonight we are just going to have a great time as we look at our subject tonight. Our subject tonight that we're going to be dealing with is, have you heard the kingdom review? Have you heard the kingdom review is what we'll be speaking on tonight. And I want you to be encouraged, to stay encouraged. If you know someone that could benefit from listening and hearing this word, why don't you give them a call on Monday nights and Thursday nights right here? Why don't you share this broadcast with someone else? And even if they cannot do it live, if you can tell them about it and have them to go in the archives and look it up and find the different messages that will speak to their life. I want to let you know that the Holy Spirit is always working. He's always trying to help us to define our purpose and our place and our position in Him. The more and more we come close to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more defining will be our purpose. God is going to define who you are, where you're going, and how you're going to get there. We serve an awesome God. It's always seeking ways to bring us closer to Him. And moreover, we're going to get into the Word of God tonight. And so I'm praying right now that the Holy Spirit will come and fellowship with us tonight as we explore the Word of God together. Father, we thank You once again for such a great opportunity that You have granted to us to come before Your presence with thanksgiving and praise. We enter into Your presence, Lord, and we call upon Your name. We're inviting You to come and teach us tonight, give us instructions and wisdom, and help us, dear Lord, to clearly understand the Word of God. Empower us. Give us the Word that we need. Let it settle down upon our hearts and upon our minds, so that we may be convicted, that we would be converted, that we would be changed, that we will live this Word out in our lives. So help us, Lord, because we all need help. We have fallen short of the mark, and we have not even really given You the glory that's due to Your name. So help us, Lord, that we may recover, that we may have restoration, that we may find a place of healing in You. Bless us and keep us, and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, my friends, for tuning in. And again, we're looking at our subject tonight, have you heard the kingdom review? Every now and then, it is important for you as a believer to review some of the things that Jesus has spoken and recorded. And I want to challenge you one day that perhaps when you come off of your challenge of reading Genesis to Revelation, then I want you to go back and go to the New Testament and get a red letter edition of the Bible and go and read the four Gospels and look what Jesus has spoken. Look at the lessons that he taught. Just read only the things that are in red and read it and listen to what Christ has said, how he taught, and it's going to be a very powerful study that you're going to have. It won't take you a very long time to do it. When you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you go to the book of Revelation, and then there's a few things over in the book of Acts where you'll see that Jesus, his words were recorded, and what he said and spoke is nothing more than a summation of what he talked about. The Word of God lets us know that there was not enough books that would contain all of the things that, that Christ had done. And so what we have is a synoptic view. We have a summary, if you will, of the events that were important for us to take away and understand something about what our Savior has done and why he did it and how he did it. Tonight, we're going to review as we hear this review on the kingdom, there are some things that we need to understand. In Luke 17th chapter and verse 20 is our opening text, and it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." So, in the past, and even in their day, there was King Herod that sit upon his throne, and he was the ruler of the nation. And so these Pharisees and many of the believers during that time had seen the succession of kings down through the years. And so all the way back to the time when Saul was the first king of Israel. And so before Saul, there were other nations that were around the children of Israel that had a king. But there was none other king like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God was with the children of Israel in a pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, because they were going through the wilderness. They were going through the desert. And in the desert, it got extremely hot in the evening, but it was extremely cold in nighttime. So God was the keeper of their soul. God was the one who was there in a pillar of cloud by day to shield them, if you will, from the burning, scorching heat in the wilderness. And at nighttime, he became a pillar of fire that he kept them warm throughout the night, even in the desert place. I want you to know that God can keep you, and he can keep you whether it's an extremely hot situation or whether you're in a cold environment. God can keep you. And so he's trying to help us to understand that I know that in the past you have seen kingdom after kingdom after kingdom, and you have heard it told of this kingdom rising and this kingdom falling and so on and so on. And now here you come preaching this Jesus. John announces in Matthew chapter 3, but before we go there, I want you, let's go back a little further. I want you to go back to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 19, Exodus the 19th chapter. And every kingdom is going to have some subjects. They're going to have some people who are a part of the leadership. And so over in the book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse 6, the word of the Lord says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." So God gave Moses commandment to tell the children of Israel that your place in the kingdom, that you are going to be priests in this kingdom. You are going to be a holy nation. As a whole people, you're going to be holy. So even way back in the Old Testament, this kingdom that God was sharing and presenting to the children of Israel was a kingdom that represented a spiritual aspect. So I don't want you just to be an earthly priest, but I want you to understand that your priesthood is a priesthood that has some eternal benefits. God says that I want you to be a priest, and a priest is one who has been called out, chosen, picked out, if you will, to provide a service in the body of Christ. And so he looks at the whole nation. Even though there was the Levitical priesthood, the whole thing was that Christ wanted to let the people know that, look, I want you all to be priests. I want you all to be a holy nation. And so he says, I want you to say these words to the children of Israel, the children of Israel as a whole, not just specific people. He wanted them to know that you are going to be a kingdom of priests. So God wants us to know that we are, as subjects of the kingdom, we are to be holy, and we are to be priests of this kingdom. And he wants to share his kingdom with us. In 1 Kings, the second chapter of the book of 1 Kings, we find something very, very powerful that I want you to see and observe. In 1 Kings chapter 2, and starting at verse number 10, David is about to go off the scene. He is about to die, and he is turning everything over to Solomon. And the word of the Lord says, "So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was established greatly." So the first thing about the kingdom we need to understand is that God is the one who will establish the kingdom. God shores up the kingdom, wants his subjects to know that you are a kingdom of priests, and that through obedience to me, I will establish you in the kingdom. God wants to put us in a position where he establishes us in his kingdom. Turn over to 2 Chronicles, the first chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says, "And Solomon, the son of David, was strengthened in his kingdom, and the Lord his God was with him and magnified him exceedingly." So there was two things that happened. Solomon was established in his kingdom, and then he was strengthened in his kingdom. God will strengthen you in the kingdom. He will establish you in the kingdom, then he will strengthen you in the kingdom, and then he'll do a third thing, and it says the Lord was with him and magnified him exceedingly. So God wants to put you in that place and the position of being a high priest for him, being a holy nation. When you operate in holiness, when you operate in righteousness, operate in one who is spirit-filled, and so much so that your lifestyle demonstrates that of a priest. A priest had to be holy because he was in the house of God constantly serving in the house of God. And so, therefore, if he was going to walk among God, he had to be holy. He had to be righteous. Otherwise, he would not be able to stand in the presence of the holy God in the temple, in his kingdom. And so God says to you and I, look, I want to establish you, and then I want to strengthen you, and then I'm going to magnify you because I want to put the spotlight on you. I want people to know that you are mine, that you belong to me, and so I'm going to put I'm going to shed some light on you, and I'm going to cause people to recognize who you are, because I'm going to put you in a position that you're going to be above only, that you'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be the first and not the last. You'll be above only and not be beneath. So God says that I'm going to hold you out to the world, and I'm going to magnify you exceedingly. I'm going to magnify you exceedingly, that you are going to be known to be somebody who is connected to the King of the kingdom. So God says that I want to establish you, strengthen you, and magnify you. Then there is another thing that he wants to do in 2 Kings chapter 15, 2 Kings the 15th chapter, and looking at verse number 17. There are some people who go about doing things their own way. But nevertheless, the key word from this text that I want for you to come away with, and this is in verse 17, it says, in the ninth and 30th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadah, to reign over Israel, and he reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. So his kingdom was a kingdom that was established on sin. And because of that, God sometimes allows you to hold position and be in a place of authority, but he will allow you sometimes to have your own way. And then verse 19 says, and Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. So God wants to confirm the kingdom in you. He wants to establish you in the kingdom. He wants to strengthen you and magnify you, and he wants to confirm you in the kingdom. In this case, Menahem was the one who paid off the Assyrians in order to stay in power. But had he continued to follow the Lord, he would never have had to do this, trying to pay somebody off in order to confirm your kingdom. And so in verse 20 it says, and Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And so he was able to avert the Assyrians from coming in and taking over because he paid them off. Whenever you have a kingdom that has to pay off the enemy, your kingdom is going to last very long. It says that he only reigned 10 years, as opposed to David having reigned 40 years. sometimes the land cannot handle so much evil. And it says that he walked in all of the sins of Jeroboam, of Nebat, and he made Israel to sin. Whenever you have a person who is in authority who operates under an evil sway of spiritual degradation, then you are going to find that that particular body of believers or kingdom is going to come to an end. And so we come over to the book of Matthew, and this is how, if you really wanted to know a whole lot about the kingdom and get a kingdom review, you could simply stay right in Matthew. The book of Matthew is so filled with thoughts regarding the kingdom of heaven. And so in Matthew chapter 3 and starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So John came preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so here was a disturbing voice. For 400 years there was 400 years that passed between the testaments, between the closing of Malachi to the opening of Matthew. There were 400 years that had passed during the time that there was no prophet that was speaking during that time of the 400 years. Malachi was the last one to speak. Now, there was a whole lot of history that was written between the testaments, and much of the things that were written was not inspired because of the fact there was no prophet that was spoken. And here comes John, who is about 30 years and 6 months old. And he begins to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So I want you to understand this, that the children of Israel was in bondage for 430 years. The children of Israel was in bondage for 430 years, and then God sent Moses to deliver them. Oh, my God. And during the testament, the 400 years between the testament, here comes John, 430 years on the scene, preaching now the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it was such a startling message because nobody has been talking about any kind of kingdom, especially when you got a kingdom that is already existing with Herod, who is now over the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire has its rudiments right now in the present time that John is speaking these words, and he's saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's a wonder they didn't go out and kill John right then, because John would probably be killed immediately because of the fact that, hey, who is this person announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand when we already got somebody who's sitting on the throne? So here comes Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 17. It says, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus picks up on the same message that John was preaching, and he says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he goes on in verse number 23, and he says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. These people were coming from all around at the announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were coming, they were coming, they were coming by the multitudes. They were coming because they had heard the announcement that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and somebody was trying to find out, where is it at? Where can I find it? Can I see it? Where is it? Who's building anything over here? And Jesus was trying to help them to understand all along that my kingdom is not of this world, that the kingdom is not come through observation. But I want you to really truly understand that my kingdom is about another aspect. There is nobody that has ever come into a kingdom and began to heal folks and with, from all manners of disease and all sicknesses and all of those things. There is nobody, no kingdom prior to Jesus coming in where there was so much healing, where nations and whole towns were being healed. And so Jesus, to help them to understand that I have a kingdom that is so not like anything that you have ever observed that you can't even compare it to anything down here because it's unlike anything that has ever been done. So he's trying to help us understand, and his fame goes throughout all Syria. People were coming by the multitudes, trying to find who is this Jesus who is announcing the kingdom. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he says, when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then in verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So here Jesus says that for you are the kingdom. The kingdom is wrapped up in the Father. The kingdom is going to come. It's going to be presented one day. Amen. And so in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he tells us, he say, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So if you are looking for the kingdom, don't look for it in a natural sense, because all of the natural things that you have need of, he says, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. But the thing that you want to occupy your mind with is that I want you to begin to allow your thoughts to sit in heavenly places. I want you to allow your thoughts to gravitate toward me, to set your affections on things that are above and not on things that are beneath or below. And so he says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. So the kingdom must be established on the principle of righteousness and holiness. And if you are going to be established in the kingdom, you're going to be considered a priest in the kingdom of God. So he says that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he tells us, he says, that not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So the prerequisite for getting into the kingdom of heaven is that you must be a righteous individual. You must be one who has come into the holy plan of God, and that you will do the will of God, because it's not enough just to be associated with Jesus by name. There were multitudes who followed Jesus, but they were only associated with him because they were looking for when he was going to do the next miracle, or when he was going to do something else. He may feed the people. So some of the people hung around Jesus because it was a popular thing to do. And then there are those who would finally begin to preach in the name of Jesus and do all sorts of things in his name, but their hearts were so far from him. And God will even take a person who is operating in the church, and he will be helping others to be saved, but he himself or she herself will become a castaway in the kingdom of God because they will not do the will of God. And if they do anything, it's all for show. It's all for themselves pumped up. They give themselves the praise and not God, and they act as if though they can grant to the Holy Ghost to somebody, or they'll lay hands and receive the Holy Ghost, and all sorts of things that people do. And the Bible calls them workers of iniquity. In other words, they have hidden agendas in their heart. Those secret sins of the heart are made manifest when they come in the presence of God. God says that not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is only going to be that you are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's because of the fact you are doing the will of the Father. God has left you an assignment, not to take the glory from the Father, but to humble yourself in the presence of God and give him all the glory that is due to his name. What an exchange that I will allow you to have the opportunity to share this word for me on my behalf, to operate it, participate in the kingdom of heaven, and then you steal all of my glory because you pump yourself up thinking that you all are that. And God says that it's not you, it's me. And I want to remind you that I'm the one who gave you the gift. You didn't have anything before you met me, and so I gave you all that you ever had. And so Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Can you imagine that? What kind of kingdom is this? Oh, my friends, no, there was no kingdom that ever existed that went about in all of the cities and villages and in their church houses and in their places of worship. Jesus came along preaching the gospel of the kingdom and telling them that healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease. Jesus did all of this. Then in Matthew chapter 10, in verse number 7, he tells his disciples, he sends them out to go and preach the same message that John preached, that he was currently preaching. He tells them to go now in verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to understand that has consistency in his message. There is a consistent ring all the way down to the end of time that God is saying that, look, I have called you to be a holy people. I've called you to be a kingdom of priests. And so I haven't forgotten what I've called you for. I've called you to be a holy people, a holy nation. I want to establish you. I want to strengthen you. I want to confirm you in the faith. I want to put my word in your heart and in your life so strongly that you will do the will of the Father, and it will be unto you for righteousness. God will pour out his righteousness in your life, so much so that you will demonstrate in your daily living that you are subjects of the kingdom of God, not by word only, but by word and deed. Your lifestyle will reflect what you talk about, what you speak about, what you sing about. It's all going to line up with what the will of the Father is, and you're going to give glory to him. So in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, Jesus wants to, us to know that John says to us, he says, I must decrease and he must increase. And here's a very important principle that you don't ever want to miss. John was the forerunner for Christ. He had come to the end of his assignment. And so oftentimes there are many preachers who have come to the end of your assignment, and it's time for you to let go. You must decrease and allow somebody else to increase and hand the baton off. Oh, it's such a sad thing for some of the preachers who will sit in the pulpit. You can't even hardly stand up in the pulpit, and you're still holding on. The church is dying, and you won't allow the next generation to come. You must decrease, and someone else must increase. And so John had to finish his assignment, and he wasn't to be forgotten. Jesus says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So even those who are least in the kingdom of heaven, even though John was a mighty man of God, there are those in the kingdom that God sees that even the least of these are great. Amen. If you make it into the kingdom, my friends, it doesn't matter how big your assignment is or how small your assignment is. If you were the contributor to following the will of God and doing your particular assignment, and you did it in the spirit of excellence, and you gave glory to God, God says that I count all of what you've done as important as John, who was a forerunner for me. And then in verse 12 he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. But see, John was a reformer. He was one who called the people to repentance, and that's the same work that Elijah did. He was on Mount Carmel, and there were people who had gone so far astray from God, and there was this call out to the prophets of Baal, and he challenged them on Mount Carmel. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, the time is going to come when God is going to hold. He's going to allow you, he says, to choose ye this to whom you will serve. Will you serve the Baal, or will you serve the living God? So the question comes down to is who you going to serve, and it's going to determine where you're going to be fitted in the kingdom. Our subject tonight is, have you heard the kingdom review? Tonight you are getting the kingdom review. And then the question is when you evaluate the kingdom, do you fit in? Do you fit in the kingdom? Or do you find yourself fitting in the kingdom? It could be that if you are not finding yourself fit in the kingdom, maybe it's because you're not doing the will of God and you're not operating in the righteousness that comes from Christ. And so Christ is saying that, look, I want you to be subjects of my kingdom. I want you to be a holy people, a royal priesthood. I want you to be a holy nation. And I want to establish you and confirm you and strengthen you in the kingdom. And I want you to seek first the kingdom and all of its righteousness. And I'm going to do something on your behalf. He says the kingdom suffered violence, the violence taken by force. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25, and it says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city of or house divided against itself shall not stand. The reason why there are many churches, even to this day, that are falling apart is because there were churches that were divided against themselves. There were members who were divided against leadership, and leadership divided against others in leadership, and so that house could not stand under so much traumatic drama, and so it failed. It came to desolation. And God is saying that, look, if you're going to operate in my kingdom, you can't operate like the Gentiles do, who exercise authority over people and do all of that. We spoke about this on Monday. And so God is saying that what I need you to do is I need you to serve the people. If you're going to be great in the kingdom, you got to be a servant in the kingdom. Amen. You've got to be a servant. And so he goes about in Matthew chapter 13, and I tell you, my friends, we could literally stay in the book of Matthew, because Matthew wrote so much regarding the kingdom of heaven that it behooves us to go back and do a review so that you might understand something of the power that Christ was trying to deliver unto his children. And so Jesus had told them the parable of the sower. And then in verse 10 of Matthew chapter 13, he begins to explain it. He says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So God has brought those who have become come priests and holy people into his kingdom. He says, to you, it's been given for you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God has opened up your head and given you revelation of his kingdom, and he's trying to help the people to understand that my kingdom does not come through observation. If you want to get into the kingdom, then you must understand that the kingdom, there is some mystery behind it. And he says, for whosoever had, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever had not, for him shall be taken away even that he had. There are some people who are so trifling, some people who look at the spiritual things of God in such a commonplace that they have no relevance to them. Take, for instance, Paul, who had the birthright, who sold his birthright to Jacob because it didn't mean anything to him. And so the Lord says that there are some people who have something that is really of value, but they consider it to have little value. I don't care what you have in this world. You could have this world's riches, but all of the riches of the world is going to pass away. But the one thing that will be abiding forever and ever is the word of God. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand fast forever and ever. And I want you to know, my friends, that if you catch hold of the word of God, you are going to be established. You're going to be confirmed. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be one who is able to be magnified before the kingdom of God, because you are a priest in the kingdom of God. You are a holy nation in the kingdom of God. You have sought him with all of your heart and with all of your mind, and you have laid all at the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gives you in return a powerful revelation of himself. He opens to you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven so so that you might understand the deep things that God has given to you. And so he says to them, verse 13, therefore spake I unto them, I speak unto them in parables, because they seeing not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. And my question tonight, and my subject tonight, is, have you heard the kingdom review? And tonight we're reviewing the kingdom, and there are some, Christ says, that will hear this thing, and they will not understand. They will see it, but they won't understand it. They don't know what they're looking at. And so he goes and says, for this people's hearts is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, but at any time they should see with their eyes, and they hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So the problem is that they haven't been converted. There are many who are in the body of Christ, but haven't been converted. There's no change that has taken place in their life. They hear week after week, they sit in church and they hear, and their ears are waxed. They can't hear. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their heart is waxed gross. And they can't hear, they can't see nothing. Their eyes are closed. And God says that if they would be converted, I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Have you heard the kingdom review? Have you heard the kingdom review? Jesus goes on to say, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. There are those who will hear the word, and it just falls by the wayside. The enemy comes and catches up that kingdom word. This word, again, he says, anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. So the kingdom has a word. The word of the kingdom is established forever. The word is from everlasting to everlasting, because the word is Jesus himself. And Jesus will never be overthrown. He will never be taken out. He will always be his word, stand fast forever and ever. So if you want to be assured of anything, hold fast to the word. Because even after heaven and earth passes away, the word of God shall always stand. And so he says, verse 20b, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, with joy receiveth it. Yet had he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. There are some people who are offended by the word of God. Yeah, you don't became a Christian? Ooh, really? Wow. You don't became a preacher? You don't began to sing? Oh, they started off with joy when they heard the word. But they didn't have enough root. They didn't have enough foundation. They were not established in the kingdom. And the devil came along, and they became offended by the word. So they left off from operating in it. Verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. They allow this world to get them so caught up that they lose sight of Jesus. they lose sight of the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. But they started seeking the things, so caught up in seeking things, that the word of God was choked out of their life. Then in verse 23, here is the shouting part, but he that receiveth seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, when you catch hold of the kingdom word, you will be effective. The word that's on the inside of you going to affect some things. Whole cities and towns will be affected by your word that you're carrying on the inside of you. And so Christ is saying that, look, this is what my kingdom is all about. And these signs shall follow them which believe. Oh, they're going to prophesy. They're going to cast out devils. They're going to heal the sick, and the dead going to be raised. All of this is going to follow them that believe, because they have examined themselves. They have evaluated themselves. They have saw that they were unworthy, and they humbled themselves before God. And God says that, look, if you would humble yourself, I will exalt you. I will magnify you. I will strengthen you. I will make your place confirmed and established in me. Nobody will be able to take you out of the place that I put you. And you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be fruitful in the place that I've established you and confirmed you in, strengthened you at. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to bring forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This is the type of kingdom message that God wants us to understand. And also in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells of the parable of the wheat and the tares, that the wheat and the tares are going to grow together, and then God is going to do the separating. And then also in verse 31, he says the parable of the mustard seed. In the kingdom of heaven, he says, it's like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. God is saying that, look, you may start off as a small beginning. You might start off with a little seed. You may start off in this thing as an insignificant yet nobody. But I want you to know that as I mature you, as I grow you, as I cause you to be fruitful, that you are going to become a strong tree that's planted by the rivers of water that cannot be moved, that the birds are going to come and they're going to lodge in your branches. There are going to be people that's going to come and lodge in your place of habitation where you are. They're going to come by the multitudes flocking where you are, because they know that there's a word on the inside of you. People are going to come to hear the word that God has placed in you. And he tells you to be the parable of the leaven. And another parable spake he unto them, kingdom of heaven is like unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And you put the seed of the word of God in somebody, in something, it's going to leaven. It's going to cause whatever that was on the inside of them, something is going to change. Something is going to take place in their life. They're going to be healed by the power of the word of God. And so Jesus spent all day long telling them about parables after parable. He was speaking to them of the kingdom message, and he explains the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in verse 44, he talks about the parable of the hidden treasure. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hided it for joy thereof, goeth and sell all that he had and buyeth that field. If you're going to find this great treasure, if you understand the value of the kingdom, you will sell out everything that you ever possessed in your life. You will buy a piece of the kingdom, because you know that the kingdom is going to last forever and ever. Then he goes on and says, And he puts forth a parable to talk about the pearl of great price. In verse 45, it says, "And again, the kingdom of heaven," we're still in chapter 13, "and the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." And I tell you, my friends, when you sell out for Jesus, when you tell the Lord, "I love you with all of my heart, my mind, and my soul, because I value you as the great hidden treasure. I value you as the pearl of great price. You are my all in all. God, I want to be with you." And when you decide, come what will or may, that I'm going to serve the Lord and I'm going to live for him, I will die for him, I will walk with him until I see him face to face. And it doesn't matter whether I live unto the coming of the Lord or whether I die unto the coming of the Lord. Christ says that dead in Christ shall rise first, and we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be ever be with the Lord. And so then Jesus goes on to another parable, the parable of the net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. So God will cast his net, because he says, "I want to make you fishermen of men, and so I'm going to cast this net, and there's going to be many that's going to come to shore, which when it was full, they drew it to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." And then Jesus, about to close this thing, he says, treasures of the new and the old, he says, "And Jesus said unto them, have you understand all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord." See, he had took them through under trying to help them to get this kingdom review. And tonight I just wanted to share this kingdom review with you, that I don't want you to get sidetracked. I don't want you to get off the beaten path and go start doing your own thing and you lose sight of Jesus, because that's your fault. I want you to understand that you better lock your eyes upon Jesus and look and fall into his wonderful face. And I tell you, the things of this earth shall grow strangely dim at the light of his glory and grace. God is calling for a people who will stand up and be holy priests, who will be a holy nation, a people who will be established in him, who will be strengthened in him, who will be confirmed in him, who will not give up, but will hold fast until the end. And so Jesus, after he tells them all these parables about the kingdom, he comes and he says, "Have you understood all these things?" Verse 51, "Have you understood all these things? Have you understood them?" And then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old." Brothers and sisters, don't you throw away the Old Testament. Don't you throw away the New Testament. But it takes both of them to understand the kingdom of heaven. If you are going to understand the kingdom of heaven, you need to take the old and the new together. Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. Oh, my friends, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, and so much that they were astonished and said, "Whence had this man wisdom and his mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary, and his brethren and James, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not with us? And whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house." And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Could it be that unbelief is stopping many of the miracles of God from happening in your body, in your house, in your church, in your place of worship, even in the place where you reside in your residence? Do you know that God wants you to be a priest, not in just only in the church, but everywhere you go, he wants you to be a representative of him, because you represent a kingdom that is not of this world, that does not come through observation. You represent a kingdom that one day truly will come, and you will meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords for yourself. I pray that you will hold fast the profession of your faith, and you will not allow yourself to let go of him until you see him face to face. Father, we thank you for your will. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that as we have reviewed this kingdom, that you will help us to understand that we can fit in the kingdom because you have prepared it just for us. But if we will forsake you and forsake the kingdom, we will have no part with you. Father, help us and forgive us for all the times that we did not walk in your word and in your will. And keep us, because we cannot keep ourselves. May the Holy Ghost seal this word in our hearts, and let it not be caught away by the enemy. It is my prayer in the name of Jesus. We thank you, and we ask it all. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you for tuning in. And I pray that this word of God will last in your heart. Don't allow the devil to come and take it up. In the name of Jesus, have a great night.